Man, so good. Again, welcome to Believers Chapel, man. We are pumped that you are with us in this house, man. We want to honor God in our song. We want to honor God in his word. And man, I just want to preach this morning from a place of Luke 15. If you can go back to Luke 15, we were there last week, and get into Zephaniah. Zephaniah is an Old Testament, small book, three chapters. Towards the end, Olivia's just sprinting across the stage like a whirlwind, gone. Man, if you could just come to this place to even Zephaniah, man, it's a small book, three chapters, Old Testament, towards the end. And we're going to get into this. But I hope that you are celebrating America today or yesterday and celebrating the United States of America as the 4th of July and fireworks and celebrating as we do live in the greatest country on God's great planet. And how grateful and honorable it is to live into a country that is free. And we want to, by the way, we want to stay that way. And we want to walk in the place of our freedom, even our religious right to meet and our religious right to preach truth and watch what God is going to do. And it was just fun because last night we had a celebration. And me and Matt, we are just a bunch of nobodies from nowhere who play cornhole. And we're not like in a cornhole, like some people are like they're cornhole kings, like they play in a league and it's just like they have their hats and their shirts and, you know, they don't ever miss. Those cornhole guys, they're amazing. But me and Matt are just a bunch of dudes, man. We just don't even, we barely know the distance. We literally, true story, had to look up the distance and how far they have to be in all this. So we got to playing, and the whole way of getting about that was Mr. John Ziegler came up to Matt and challenged Matt, because we played a bit ago with John Ziegler and Chris Clock, and we played a month ago or more, and we just annihilated them. We crushed them a couple months ago, and then they want to come back and say, well, we're going to crush you today, and they just started talking smack. So Matt and I were just like, hey, we'll give it a hurl, right? Matt, how's your arm, by the way? Is it sore from playing so many games and not losing because the winner stays? But anyways, you know, and John Ziegler's a rough, tough dude, right? And it's just, we're so excited for him and Chris and the big challenge. And we were just eating a nice meal, all quiet and silent. And they came up barking and screaming. And I'm like, all right, well, you know, Matt's like, Sean, are you up for it? I was like, I think I can handle it. Let's do it. And then have you ever been in a place where somebody challenges you to something? And I'm thinking more like runners, where you're like, okay, I'll race you. And then all of a sudden, the one who's been cocky, when they're running and they know they don't have a chance, what do? They're running like, oh, pull the hammy, right? They totally fake an injury, right? Totally pull the hammy. No, I was catching up to you, but oh man, I think I need to wrap it up. And they totally throw a fake, and it's always the hammy, right? But when you're playing cornhole, John Ziegler, we were crushing him. True story, it was 20-0, by the way. When he pulled a fake injury. He grabs his head and he's just like, oh no, and it's 20-0. That's the truth. And it was just, he grabs his head and he's just like, I'm like, dude, what are you? Oh, I can't finish. My earlobe hurts. I don't know what it is. I thoroughly hurt my earlobe. And I believe Matt's word was annihilation. We crushed them. We annihilated them. And then they went and practiced and came back and said, now we're ready for you. We're ready. And we crushed them again. But anyways, that is just in a great celebration of 4th of July picnic and just having a great time. And I hope, honestly, you are enjoying the weather, enjoying this weekend, and I hope to see you tonight at Seek, man. It's going to be a great night. But are you ready for today, man? Because I got to preach today, and I got to preach. And just as we do every Sunday, we just open this book and we just go and we just preach truth, not ashamed of it. We're never going to apologize for preaching the truth. We're going to come to a place to scream. And I believe this right now. Please hear me, BC, that we are in a moment right now in a sense of where the world is through what the season that we have come through, and especially where America is right now in such civil unrest and just chaos and crazy all around. I think it is time, as we have preached, and I do believe that as we scream from the rooftops, Jesus is King and Jesus is Lord, come to a place to know him as Lord and Savior. God loves you desperately that he would send his only begotten son for you. And this, I think it's time that we will see a great harvest as we continue to stand firm on the word of God. We continue to see and believe a great return, that will be those who have drifted, those who've walked wayward, and and they will come to a place, as we talked about last week in the prodigal son, that he will come to his senses. He will come to himself, and he will repent, and he will return. And I believe that we are on the horizon, truly, of a harvest. The harvest is on the horizon, that we are going to see many, many come to know Christ as Lord and Savior, that are going to lay down their lives. They're going to come to this place to lay down sin and repent and turn and come to a holy God based on God's terms and not man's terms. And I believe we're going to see this take place in number and number and number coming out. Watch this. Please hear this. This ain't even the message, man. I'm just getting warmed up. Here we go. You come to a place to realize that who can agree that this is a very dark time? Well, in the darkest season, Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, our Master, whom we take a knee to, whom we bow to, whom we serve, has said, Sean, you are called. I have called you to be the light. And the darker it gets, the brighter you and I are called to shine. Church, do we understand that in these times, that we're not going to fear in the darkness? We're not going to fear the darkness. We're not going to cower and hide in our homes. We're going to come out bold and be light to a dark, dark season to say there is hope and there is truth. And it is Jesus Christ who loves you desperately, put himself on a cross to pay for sin. And you need to come to this place to repent, believe, and surrender. BC, I believe it, man. I believe it that we're going to see a great harvest and we're going to see a great return for those who've drifted to come back to a place as the prodigal son did. Can you give God an amen for that, please? Amen? Come on. Man. And I just, as a church, man, we are not ashamed of the gospel and we are not ashamed of his truth. And we're not ashamed to call sin, sin. We're not ashamed to say, I'm not worried about public view or popular view. If you've been here any season of time, this is nothing new. You hear this constantly about public view, popular view, and God's view. Which side are you on? It's not that difficult. We as Believer's Chapel are and will stand with God's view and not popular view and not public view and not political view. On either side of the fence, we're with God's view, and we come to a place to say, God, we're going to honor your word. And we're going to honor your truth. And in the darkest of seasons, in my 50 years, this is the darkest season that I've seen America in absolute chaos. And people are in absolute such fear that you and I are called to be light. And it doesn't take much. But today is a very real day where we're going to continue with Luke 15, and we're going to look at the father, the fool, and the faithful. And the faithful, of course, we talked last week, is a twist. But today we're going to concentrate more on the father. And this is Jesus. He's speaking a parable. Luke 15, Jesus being one of the greatest or the greatest storyteller of all time, man. He goes into a story on the prodigal son. It's called the prodigal son. It's his longest parable. And he goes into this amazing story of this son who we talked about last week. A very quick recap. Dad, I hate you. I wish you were dead. I want my inheritance now. He goes off to Vegas, spends it on prostitutes and loose living, comes to a place, watch this, in absolute complete sin, walks into this place to realize when everything is gone, he absolutely comes to the bottom of the barrel, man. He's in a place of absolute brokenness. And the Bible says that this young man came to himself. This young man came to his senses. And said, my dad's servants have it better than me. What have I done? How far have I gone? And I love this story because Jesus comes to this place to remind us the true, watch this now, the true and the only way to come to the Father is through repentance of sin. It's through repenting of sin, calling sin, sin. And you see this picture in the son. Verse 17, Luke 15. But when he had came to his senses, and I believe this, man. We are going to maybe even in this room or even online today, we are pumped that people are watching this thing online at some point, either today or tomorrow or this week or next week or a year from now, that you would come to a place to hear truth. And I believe this, that people are going to come to understand what it means to come to their senses for those that you have been praying for your husband, for your wife, for your teenager, for your cousin, whomever that you've been saying, God, move in their heart. God, grab their spirit. Do something, God. Shake them, break them. Bring them to a place of brokenness, whatever it takes to bring them to their senses. It took this son to go to the bottom of the barrel, to feed pigs, to come to a place to be so hungry that he said, I would rather eat pig food than starve. And it was at this moment that Jesus says in his story that this man came to his senses. And church, what happens? What happens when you come to a place that you begin to see, and I believe this, man, I can't stand here, and not think for a moment that our God who is great, our God who is sovereign, our God who, the Bible says, it is his delight, it is his will that all men come to repentance, all men come to know him. I can't stand here for a moment and think God doesn't have a plan through this crazy season. Of just maybe, watch this, man, just maybe, through the season, people will come to their bottom. Through the season, people will come to their lowest place. Maybe in the season, people will come to their brokenness. And just maybe in that moment, God by his Spirit comes in and knocks on that door. Hey, remember me? And there's a brokenness that will take place to a spirit. And there will be a great return. So I'm looking at this as the pastor of Believer's Chapel saying, God, there will be good out of this. There's something going to happen in this. That God, even in the brokenness of man, when we see it is absolute devastation, when we see that it is absolute a disaster, when we see people are just captivated and frozen by fear, when we see such unrest even here in America and just craziness, we see an agenda that's pitched by media. We see an agenda that's pitched by the devil. And you gotta remember, we don't fight against flesh and blood. There's a very, very, very real enemy named Satan. And he is the best in what he does, as lying and deceiving and misleading. He is the best at it. And what happens when you and I get to see people in their worst place? Just maybe. And I believe it, man. I believe God is going to do something so real and so good in the heart of man where he knows all things. And God is absolutely in control. And church, you and I are not called to walk in fear. We're called to walk in faith. And we're called to trust him. Say, God, I don't know all the particulars. And you got to remember, man, sin isn't something new. Like, this isn't new. Right? Sin showed up on Genesis 3, you don't get three chapters into the Bible where you find where Adam and Eve blew it. The very first two people on the planet screwed it all up. Adam gets the account on that. Sin, devastation. Genesis 6, God flooded everybody. Millions and millions of people took them all out because all their heart was just wicked. This isn't anything new. Sin's a very real issue. It's a very real issue. And I love it because Luke 15 has this son who comes to this place to come back to his senses, to come to his father and say, I have sinned. You see, there it is. Jesus in this amazing, beautiful story. Isn't it incredible that right off the top of the return is, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. Dad, I blew it. I've sinned. I broke that fellowship and that relationship. I'm not even worthy to be called your son. I mean, he comes back to the Father humbled. He comes back to the Father seeking to be right with Dad again. He comes back to the Father to say, listen, I have sinned against heaven. I love that, against God, and I have sinned in your sight. That I'm not even worthy to be called your son. And of course, we see this amazing picture because I think in today's day, church, if we're going to really believe, please hear me on this. If we're going to really believe for a revival, if we're really, really going to trust that God, you will move in all of this chaos and crazy. God, you will move again. God, you will bring people to yourself. God, there will be a brokenness in people's spirits that they will come to their senses. It has to start with repentance. Based off of God's terms and not man's terms. What is it to begin to really see God for who he is? Let me just share this with you, man. When you come to a place to say, God, we want to see a move again. God, we want to see you move again. God, we want to see people change, husbands change, wives change, families change. God, let our nation be one that seeks you again. It starts with, I'm a sinner. I have sinned. Church, we cannot play around with sin. I believe that a spiritual journey starts with understanding the holiness of God, that God is holy, that God is pure, He's undefiled. God hates sin. He created you and I to be in great, beautiful fellowship and relationship with Him. He created you and I to have breath, to be able to give Him praise. Do you realize the very breath you breathe is the breath that He gave you to breathe? That's how great our God is. That's how in control He is. He could in a moment say, oxygen gone. Every living thing on the earth would die. That's just His power and His authority. So when God sees that sin and the darkness of sin, that it has caused death, a separation from Him, church, we cannot, please hear me, we cannot mess around with sin. We come to a place before a holy God who hates sin, and it cost Him His Son. Keep your finger in Luke 15. I want to go to Hebrews 10. I was thinking about this, and I just want to share this with you. Because I think we at times have gotten into this picture of God just being a marshmallow. God just being this soft God. Yes, He is a God of grace, but He's also a God of wrath and judgment. Because what would happen? Watch this now. There's just kind of three statements that I've just been going over this week in my own spirit. Life is, what if we wrote this down somewhere? What if you and I lived according to just three simple statements? Life is short, death is coming, and then comes judgment. Life is short, death is coming. Wow, Sean, thanks for the very encouraging message this morning. I just feel, whoop! Just bear with me, please. Stick with me for this whole message because we're going to juice it up at the end here. But if we are really a people, and I hope that we are a people who said, God, we want real revival and we want real change, then there has to be a change based on His view and based on His agenda and based on His terms and not man's terms and not a political agenda and not a popular agenda. And when you come to a place to realize what it really looks like, life is short. Death is coming unless Jesus comes first. Death is guaranteed. And then, watch this, and then comes judgment. Because the world will come to a place and agree, yes, life is short. The world will come to a place and agree, yes, death is coming, can't escape it. But the world has a problem with the third truth. Then comes judgment. The Bible says, you die once and then comes judgment. There are no do-overs, there's no takeovers. And you come to a place, church, hear me, please. When you come to a place to realize we need to do life on His terms. And God is a very, very real God who loves people, who created us to be in fellowship with Him. He is a God of grace and mercy. But when you have a people who will stiff-arm God, when you have a people who reject truth, there is judgment for that. There is an eternally away from the Father and away from heaven in a place called hell. And I'm telling you, if we are really saying, God, we need you to move. God, we want you to move again. We want real life again. We want people turning to you. It has to be on God's terms. It cannot be on our terms. It has to be on His terms. And it takes a very, watch this, and I want us as a church, you're like, Sean, I know this. Amen. Then we need to pray for this. God, let there be a very real turn. God, let there be a very real repentance. Listen, because it's been so, so warm and fuzzy. If you start watching some of the preachers on TV right now, or you start watching some of them online, they're so warm and fluffy, man. It's just, some of these guys are just making me want to puke. It's like, what are you talking about? They stand arm in arm with the world and think they're going to do something. They want to walk in unity with the world. Like, what are you talking about? We need to come to a place to be strong and firm and unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ and truth of all that Jesus died for in sin. And not play games. Church, I don't want to play games. You know this about this place. We aren't playing games. We believe every time you walk in this place, I don't want you to come to church to check a box. I did it this week. I'm good. No, I want you to walk in this place to give God the worship and praise that he rightfully deserves, an absolute celebration, and even being broken and humbled before him, to walk in a place to have such a reverence and a fear and an awe of him that my worship will reflect that, and then come into a place to hear the word, to walk out this place different from when you walked in this place. We're not here to check a box, have never been here to check a box. We're here to see life change under the power of God's word. And by his spirit moving in us. And in that it takes truth. And then that takes truth unashamed. Unashamed truth. Never going to apologize for the gospel, the good news. And I tell you this, church, what happens if you had a friend or you had a family member or you had a neighbor who you knew was driving down the road and you knew that the bridge was out ahead? Would you not do everything possible with trying to get their attention? Hey, the bridge is out. Stop. Where are you going? Hold on. Danger ahead. Bridge is out. And yet the church today has kind of just moved aside for their fluffy little deal and allow people to just drive off the cliff without actually hearing the truth. Because we serve a very real God who is full of love. But for those who have not responded to that love and for those who have not responded to the truth, there's a very real judgment. And I want you to see this in Hebrews 10 because there's a very real side of God that isn't preached today. It is preached here, yes. But we have so much that people aren't going to church and they're listening to stuff online and they've got to come to a place. Please hear me. I love you, BC. I love you desperately and I want you to know this because this is a very real side of God. Verse 25, not forsaking our own assembly together. That's church. That's the gathering of church. It's what we do on Sundays. Not forsaking our own assembly together, as is the habit of some, but to encourage one another. I love this. To encourage, it means to build courage within. I want you to come to Believer's Chapel every Sunday that you are so built up, that you are so filled with just a vigor, so filled with a zeal that everything that was going on during the week, you put aside and say, no, man, I feel like I can run through a wall. I am not ashamed of the gospel. No, I will stand in truth. I will be light. I will stand my ground. I will put on the armor. And as he tells me to stand firm, I will not be afraid. Church, that's what should happen at Believer's Chapel week after week. That should be happening in Kingdom Kids, is teaching our kids to be courageous. It means to build courage within. And I love it because the Lord tells us here in Hebrews 10, listen, this should be happening every time we get together. As the day draws near, that is Jesus' return. That is Jesus' return. What a beautiful day that will be when Jesus comes for me, when we know that Jesus is coming back. If we are alive at that moment, what a beautiful, beautiful day that will be. But until that comes, we are called to meet and we are called to not forsake the assembly of ourselves together, as is the habit of some, but to encourage one another, to build courage within. That takes place in the community, to build courage within as we see the day draw near. Watch this, watch this, watch this. Verse 26, for if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth. Church, we've got to be able to understand, just like the prodigal son, that sin separates from God. That sin separates from God, and we come to him on his terms with a true heart that says, repent or turn away from sin. Repent means to turn away, to turn your face. It literally means to turn your face away. I can't bear the sight of sin. That's what repent means. The knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice of sins. Watch this. But the terrifying, here it is, a terrifying expectation of judgment, that the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. Watch verse 29. How much more severe punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God? Listen, God's not playing games. It is God's desire for all to come to know him. But it has to be on his terms. It has to be on his terms. And we are a church who says we're begging people to come to know God. There is freedom and there is peace and there is joy and there's a release. And man, when you get to know that, there's no shame and there's no guilt. What on earth are you giving up to come to Christ? You gain everything. You gain everything. What did the son give up? In the story of the prodigal son, what did he give up to come back home? eating with the pigs, brokenness, loneliness, hunger. He felt worthless. I'm not even worthy. He gave up all of that. When the Father ran to him and embraced him and kissed him, listen, when you come to Christ, you gain everything. You gain everything. But we come to him on his terms. We do. We've got to know this, BC. If we're going to do a work that's going to change our region. And let me just tell you something. You've been at BC for any length of time. Man, we're just in the beginning of this thing, man. We're just over 10 years old and we're in the second inning. Are you ready? We're in the second inning and we're going to reach this region with everything in us, with a passion and a zeal. But it has to be on the foundation of truth, with zero apologies. Watch this, watch this. How much severe punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled under the foot the Son of God and is regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant, which means it can't cleanse me. I don't believe in that. That's what it's talking about. Those who mock salvation, those who mock God, but which was sanctified and insulted the Spirit of grace. Here it is. Hear this, please. Hear this. Because there's a lot of warm and fuzzies and there's a lot of fluffiness and a lot of people make God out to be a marshmallow. But that's an absolute lie from the greatest deceiver of all. If the enemy can get your eyes on a fluffy marshmallow God, he's gotten your eyes off the truth. Watch this. For we know him, that's the Lord, who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. Watch this, verse 31. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And church, what is it? What is it when we as the church, and I mean not just BC, I'm talking about the church, when we live in a society that just accepts sin for sin. We live in a society, watch now, that has doubled down on sin, and the church seems to be okay with it. The church seemed to lose sight when they took God out of schools. The church seemed to lose sight when abortion became legal. And we believe that that is sin. We believe that God is the one who creates life and God is the one who put life within a womb. And we can see that through scripture, where when there was a seed that was planted and it began to grow, the Bible says, you see it even in Luke, where Mary goes to Elizabeth and Mary begins to speak to Elizabeth and John, who is Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist, leaps in his mother's womb, which is a sign of absolute life because he heard her voice. It's a sign of life. And they seem to have doubled down on abortion. And then we come to a place with marriage and the sanctity of marriage, which we hold very firm to, as they seem to have really doubled down on an agenda for same-sex marriage. And man, this is one of those days, BC, that we got to come to a place to say, okay, what is the truth of God's word? What am I going to stand on to really understand that right in the very beginning, Genesis 1 and 2, God set the beautiful sanctity of marriage between a man and a wife right in creation. He rooted it right in creation. And he said this, I love it. It's not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper that is right for him, that is suitable for him. And he makes him a woman. And then he allows our bodies to procreate and come together in the beautiful essence of making love that produces. And he says, be fruitful and multiply. And when you look at the reality of the very real enemy that we face, who pushes this agenda of a man with a man and a woman with a woman. We got to get real with this. If we want to see God move, we've got to get real with things that are so pressing in our society. And it mocks and it spits in the face of our very beautiful, beautiful Creator, who said marriage is between husband and wife. And then watch this. Because you see in Ephesians 5, it's a beautiful picture where he says, Christ in the church, Christ in the church, Christ in the church, Christ in the church. The mystery is this, that I'm referencing Christ in the church. And the whole part is when he's speaking of a husband and a wife. He could have picked any picture, any picture to represent Christ and the bride. And he set up marriage to give that beautiful picture. So we can't be a people who are fluffy. We can't be a people who believes in a marshmallow God. We have a people who say, if we're going to see true revival, if we are going to scream, the bridge is out, the bridge is out, the bridge is out, the bridge is out. Life is short. Death is coming. And then comes judgment. And then I want to get to this. I got just a couple minutes. We got to cruise here. We got to cruise. Because I want to close strong here today and be very, very encouraged, because we see the heart of the Father in this amazing prodigal son story. We see the heart of the Father. We see in verse 23. And bringing the fattened calf, he killed it. Let us eat and celebrate. Watch this. When there is a great return. Isn't it amazing? The Bible says when one sinner repents, the heavens are filled with angels that rejoice. At one sinner's repentance, the angels rejoice. Could you imagine being a part of that? That when there truly is a return, when there truly is a repentance, do you understand that at one sinner, the heavens explode with such rejoicing and singing? Man, what would it be like if you're in heaven now and someone gets saved and the angels just explode? Oh, there's another one. Well, what are they doing? Oh, they're rejoicing. There's another one. I mean, you're talking not in America. I'm talking not in Believer's Chapel. I'm talking about worldwide. Worldwide, where the church is alive and people are coming to Christ on Christ's terms. They are repenting and turning. And the angels are just throwing party after party after party. They're rejoicing. They're clapping. They're screaming. Listen, the word rejoice, it means that they're going nuts in heaven over one sinner who repents. Could you imagine that scene? But it's those who come on God's terms and not man's made up ideas or the lies of the enemy. And you see this celebration. You see this celebration that takes place. Is this amazing picture that Jesus is telling. This story that has this amazing point of the Father's heart. My son was lost, but now he's found. And he said, listen, it's time to celebrate. It's time to celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and he's come to life again. He was lost and he's been found. And they began to celebrate. Verse 24, verse 32, talking to his elder son. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was lost and he's been found. He was dead, but now he lives. I love that there's this picture in this story of the Father just, and the word celebrate, it means to rejoice. It means that we have to throw this party, that the Father is so excited for the return. He's so excited for those who've drifted that come back. He's so excited for those who once walked away with him but find themselves eating with the pigs. I love this story. This is Jesus telling the story, saying, listen, the God Almighty, your Father, he rejoices over you. He celebrates the return. Listen, when you have a real return, when there's a very real repentance, when there's this place to say I've drifted, this place that you know that I'm in the bottom of the barrel, I'm broken, man, when we come back to him, he's not waiting to punch you and I in the face. He's not waiting with his gavel to crush us. No, man. He says, listen, I want to celebrate you. It's time to party. It's time to rejoice. It's time to celebrate. It's time to eat. And I want to give you this great picture in Zephaniah, man. Please, if you're there, turn there quickly. Because we got a cruise, man. I got just a few minutes to get you excited. Come on, everybody say amen. Amen. Come on, amen. Amen. All right, you're with me. I got you. Zephaniah is amazing. It's an amazing book. It's a minor prophet book. It's got three short chapters, but it's just packed. It's packed. It shares of God's judgment, but it closes with God's hope. It shares with God's chosen people, Israel, that have wandered, that once again they find themselves in sin. Once again they find themselves with idols. Once again they find themselves in just this self-centeredness. Once again they find themselves in greed. And when if you start reading Zephaniah, you start seeing a very real God. And you start seeing this God that hates sin. You see this God who's going to judge his people. And over and over and over, you hear this phrase in Zephaniah 1 and 2, the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord. And that's referencing his judgment. There will be a day. And then you see the heart of the Father for those who return. And again, I love this picture, because church, please hear me, man. As BC, we want to see this. We want to see a return. We want to see those who have drifted, those who are wayward. We want to see the prodigals come back to a place to really say, man, what am I doing? I'm in this place that I am coming to my senses. The Spirit of God is moving within me, and I'm going to call my sin sin. Man, I have done it my way. I have not done it his way. We're going to see, watch this. We're going to see those who've never heard truth. You know how many people just even here in America haven't ever heard the straight truth. We're going to see people for the first time come to a place to take a knee before the Lord, to repent from sin, walk in a place of holiness with him based off of God's holiness and God's program and God's plan. And I love Zephaniah because it gives this prophetic picture of our Father who loves us with such a desperate love. And I want you to see this picture, because it is a picture of the Father with his Son that returns in Luke 15. It is a Father that doesn't care about being embarrassed. It's a Father who comes to a place not worried about his dignity. He picks up his robe and he sprints towards his Son to celebrate his return. Church, what happens when you see a picture here in just a minute of God who celebrates you? The Bible says he sings over you. But come on, really? Who am I? Verse 15, the Lord has taken away his judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. I love it when you begin to see what it looks like when he is in your presence. When you draw near to him, he will draw near to you. When the Father saw his Son coming back, he ran towards his Son to be in the presence of his Son. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst, and he, watch this, and you will fear disaster no more. Church, we've got to be a people who will not function from fear. We've got to be a people who will not function from fear. We must function from faith. I am not fearful of public opinion. We cannot be fearful of popular opinion. We've got to walk by faith. Because when this takes place, when there is that return, you lose fear. I love this. You will fear disaster no more. And in that day, watch this, and in that day it will be said to Jerusalem, as God's chosen people, do not be afraid, O Zion. Do not be afraid, O Zion. Do not let your hand fall limp. That means don't give up. Don't be afraid. Don't let your hand fall limp. Don't give up. I love this. Here we go. This is the Lord saying to those who, yes, my judgment is real. And when you realize there's a very real God who's very holy, who walks in this place to hate sin, and those who reject and stiff arm, and they will do whatever they want to do, there's a day that they will be judged. But for the church, but for those, and I'm not saying BC, I'm talking about those who are his, those who belong to him, on that day that they repent, on that day that they return, when we see the Father's response, I love this, it says, don't be afraid. Do not quit. Don't ever give up again. Stay strong. Watch this. Verse 17. Here it is. And the Lord your God is in your midst. Says it a second time about his presence. The Lord your God is in your midst. He is a victorious warrior. Listen, God is no marshmallow, right? God is not warm and fluffy, right? God is a victorious, triumphant warrior. And listen, when you begin to see who my Father is, that my God will come after me. When I draw near to him, he is going to draw near to me, and I will be in his presence. And in his midst, I have to fear no more. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. Why? Because my Father is a victorious warrior. Come on, give him praise, BC. Amen. Oh. Come on, I got 2 minutes ago. Here we go. With me. Come on, he is a victorious warrior, still 17. Amazing. I love this. Here it is. And he will exalt over you with joy. He will with great delight. Isn't this amazing? The God of all power and might says, with great delight, I will rejoice over you. The same God who hates sin and will judge sin is the same God who is a father who says, Sean, I exalt, isn't that amazing? I exalt, I rejoice over you with joy, with gladness in my heart. Watch this. And he will, watch this, he will quiet, or he will quiet my fears in his love. He will quiet, my fears will be less than. My fears is like salt to a boiling pot. That's what his love will do. When I know he is for me, when I know that he loves me, when I know that he's coming after me, when I know that he exalts over me, man, that his love quiets my fears. Watch this, here it is. And he will rejoice. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. Could you imagine the Father, just as I picture in Luke 15, as Jesus is telling this story, you could see the minds turning. Going, there is a dad who will run after his returning children. There's a dad who will chase down the one who's coming back to him, and he will rejoice. Man, he's loud about it. He comes to this place to rejoice over him with shouts of joy. God Almighty has shouted joyfully over Sean Obergefell and my return. God Almighty has shouted joyfully over my repentance and over your repentance and over your return. Well, it says this, that God Almighty rejoices with singing over you, that God rejoices, man. He celebrates the great return with songs of joy over me. Are you serious? That's how much he loves me, is that he celebrates me and my sin and my stupid and my brokenness. When I came back to him, he ran to me to sing over me. All I wanted to do was say, Lord, I'm not even worthy. And we see a Father who celebrates over the repentant. Come on, if you would just bow your heads, please. Church, where are you in this today as we come to a place to sing this last song? I just ask you the simple question, man, where are you today? Have you ever come to a place to surrender your life to Jesus, to say, I know that I'm a sinner. Man, I know this. Everybody knows it. I admit that I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the only answer. And I confess that he is Lord. A, B, C. Listen, the Lord never made it complicated. We don't need to complicate it. First, we have to repent from sin, admit that I'm a sinner. I believe, Jesus, you're the only answer. Jesus, you're it. You're the door. Jesus, you're the way. No other way but you. And I confess that you are Lord. You are Master. I surrender. I do it your way, according to your word. Man, if you're in this place and you know it's time to return, maybe you're watching online and you're like, man, I didn't know what would happen when I really truly came to confess and return. Man, I walked in that way once and I don't know if I will ever be received again. Well, I believe we've proven today that you will be received when you return, with a Father who will rejoice over you, with a Father who will celebrate you, a Father who will sing songs, who will exalt you with shouts of joy. The enemy will lie to you. The enemy will mislead you to believe that he's holding some type of gavel or just ready to pound you in the face because he's angry. But God is one who says, no, if you come to me, I'm going to celebrate you. But it's got to be on his terms. Repent. Turn. Come back to the Lord. Come back to the Lord. And you will be celebrated. Father, I pray even in this moment as we sing, and Father, we would make it right with you, for those by your Spirit, God, you draw every person in this place by your Spirit to you. God, every person in this place, what your Spirit would speak into our hearts this moment as we make it right with you. In Jesus' name.